This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Our journey with the Quran,
inshallah. Yes, and assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, you can hear us. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm very well. Jazakumullah khair for having me once again.
Well, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, as always, it's always a pleasure. And alhamdulillah, we're going to continue with our journey through the Quran, Sheikh. So let us know where we're picking up from last week.
Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. We're maintaining our journey through Surah Al-Baqarah, and we mentioned a few important aspects of a particular verse, verse number 38, last week. Today, I wanted to, inshallah, go through a larger section of the Quran, where it is Allah's first discussion with the people of Bani Israel. The children of Israel were always seen as the precursors of the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we find that Musa alayhi salam, who was the one given the law by Allah to enact it and to practice it amongst his people, is one of those who is set as a legislator before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who is meant to show how the laws of Allah can be put into natural practice with his ummah. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them a very primary example for the nation that would come after them, the nation of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah would mentor them all throughout the process, letting them know that there will be a messenger, there will be a prophet who will come before the end of time, who will be the final messenger, the final voice of reason, the final voice who carries the revelation in the recital that he will bring unto you, a person who will be raised from amongst mankind, who will not be angelic, but will be a human being who brings about rectification and order to the earth if he is obeyed and listened to. And of course, Bani Israel, the children of Israel, the children of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, they are of a prominent example provided for us in the Quran. And this is the first statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives in advice to them upon them hearing about our messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, one of the things sometimes as Muslims we don't know is that there were many, many people of Jewish practice who recognized the truth as soon as they saw it. And as soon as they met Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were some who just saw his beaming, radiant face and accepted him, peace and blessings be upon him. There were others who challenged him with questions and debate and argumentation and accepted faith. And there were others who just watched from a distance his business dealings, whether he would be victorious in battle. Some looked for some of the physical marks that they were searching for as genetic markers in the lineage of the prophets that were always found. There were also those who rebelled against the truth. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this discussion, verse number 40 in the second chapter of the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lets us know that the nickname of Prophet Ya'qub is Israel, which is two words. And a lot of the words that are found in the Quran that are names do not necessarily have to have Arabic origin. They are Semitic origin in general. So Asra means to travel by night for Elohim, for Allah. So Ya'qub was commanded by Allah to make a night journey. And that's why his nickname is the one who traveled by night to serve God. Isra'il. We have the word, of course, Al-Isra, meaning the night journey of the Prophet ﷺ. Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم. Make mention and be fond of the blessing and the grace that I sent upon you, and the grace that I sent upon you as a favor of me to you. And the ulama, they tell us that the greatest favor is to believe in God, that they were instructed and were taught to protect their faith, even though they lived under the tyranny and idolatryism of Pharaoh and his people for 400 years. Of the greatest blessings that they had is that their faith in the one true Allah did not dissolve. It didn't depart from them. التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوفي بعهدكم. And if you fulfill my covenant, I will fulfill my covenant to you. The covenant, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when he summoned them to worship him alone and to not join others in worship with him and to obey the messengers and to obey the final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, of course, that's where the issue becomes really central. Allah tells us in the Quran, إِنَّهُمْ لَا يُكَذِّبُونَ. They don't deny that you have come with truth. وَلَكِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ يَجْحَدُونَ. But you will find that all of those who disbelieve in the message of truth, a part of it is because of the pride and arrogance in their heart, their dissatisfaction to be led unto the truth by others. وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي أُوفِي بِعَهْدِكُمْ وَإِيَّايَ فَرْحَبُونَ. And stand in awe of me alone. وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ. And show your commitment and belief in that which I have revealed to you and confirmed in the scriptures that are with you, that are now confirmed in this message given to Muhammad. وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ. And don't be the first to deny it and turn your back to it. Here Allah speaks about the word kufr. The word kufr in the Arabic language means to cover something. So, أَنَا كَفَّرْتُ يَدِي. In this instance, I have hidden my hand. My hand is still there. The truth is still known in the heart. And that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't deny what you know in your heart and recognize to be the truth. Don't be the first to deny it. Give yourself the hope of faith. وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. What is the mechanism, even in our ummah, and this is a warning to our nation, what causes people to deviate from the truth? Do not purchase, do not trade the truth for a fleeting moment of gain in this worldly life. How many people sell their akhirah for a small share of the dunya? How many people lust after something that's a momentary lapse of enjoyment, but it gives ruin to the stability and the comfort that they had? How many people think of the short gain but miss out in the long term? How many people sleep through the night and wake up too late for fajr and find that their day is without barakah and their akhirah will be of loss? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from purchasing our own place in the wrath and the punishment of Allah. How silly it is for a person to actually purchase it with their deeds and their conduct and even their wealth, that they find themselves aggressing against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rights. وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Don't make a trade falsely with my verses that have come to you that are meant to bring you to the truth and find a fleeting gain that you've sold that which is far better. وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ. And be mindful of me, O children of Israel, O Ummah of Muhammad. This is the verse I wanted to highlight with you. وَلَا تَلْبِسُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. And do not mix falsehood with truth. وَتَكْتُمُوا الْحَقَّ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And do not subdue, hide, subvert, cancel out the truth when it has become known to you. SubhanAllah. There are many moments in our life where we know where we have stepped over the line. There are many moments in our life where we know that we have entered into wronging ourselves or wronging another person. And there are moments in our life where we have the opportunity to step back, to take that foot back, to come back to the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want you to know, don't mix truth and falsehood, not in your heart, before your actions make it manifest. See, one of the things that at times challenges us is that, you know, we know we're in the wrong and we say, but Allah's forgiving. Allah will forgive me. I have time to make it up later. Inshallah, I'll do Umrah. I'll do Hajj, right? You know, there's this false hope. It's called, you know, a fraudulent amal, a fraudulent long distance hope that is not assured for any of us. And when you mix the truth with falsehood, when you assume that everything is the same, that whether I stay, you know, in this instance, Allah's saying, whether you stay Jewish or accept Islam, it's not the same. You can't mix between what is truth and what isn't. And you must adopt that which is truth. You cannot remain believing in something that is not true when your heart has inclined to the truth. وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not mix falsehood with the truth. Do not mix the truth with falsehood. And notice the syntax. Do not mix the truth with falsehood. Why is truth usually watered down, right? SubhanAllah. Sometimes we know the haqq, but we just don't. It's bitter. It's hard. It's not easy. And sometimes, well, if I just cut this corner, or if I just water it down, or if I pretend I didn't hear it, or if I just, you know, inshallah, I'll practice it, or I'll get up tomorrow, or I'll put on my hijab tomorrow, or I'll be more consistent when the daylight hours are not so difficult for my fajr, or, you know, I have exams and I'm studying for the bar, and, you know, there's all these different things that come in the way. Don't mix the truth, which you know is the truth, with any amount of falsehood. And the ulama, they give this beautiful example, and I don't want to take too long with this concept, but it's so essential for the protection of your faith. If you have a room that is dark, but you have that one ray of light that penetrates it, that ray of light, even if it's a pinhole, it can fill the room with a light that gives you the ability to sense what's around you. The moment there's a ray of light that pierces your heart, the moment you see the truth around you, even there, there's darkness, even if it's not complete, even if I can't witness everything, there is that speck of light. Don't put it out. Don't cover over it. Don't hide it. That's the concept of kufr. وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقِّ. Don't subdue it. It's not just mix it. So there's these two levels. Because in the beginning, nobody just throws Islam out of their life, but they begin to adulterate it. They begin to mix it. They begin to water it down until it becomes more inconvenient than convenient and faithful in their heart. Then they make ketm. Ket means to stifle it. I don't even want to hear its voice. I don't want to hear the mention of the ayah, let alone read it, hear it, see it, or put it into practice. I want to stifle the word of truth, because if it's heard, it's going to make me compelled to acknowledge it. وَلَا تَكْتُمُ الْحَقِّ. Don't confine and stifle the truth. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. After you recognize it's there. What's the greatest weapon against that? How can I bring my soul to rectify this condition that we all have in one capacity or another, where when it's inconvenient, we want to find reason to be able to escape it? What is the thing that can help? وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. So therefore, stand up and establish your prayer. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. And care for the needs of others before your wants by paying out your zakah. وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ. And be plentiful in bowing down to me with others who do so. Three things: establish prayer, care for others, and be spending upon them from that which is of your loved possessions, and join others in celebrating the worship of Allah. When you put those three together, you have that opportunity. You have that ability to then begin to make progress against your soul. Aqimu salat. Nobody stands and bows and puts their face to the ground except one who eventually, invariably, their heart begins to soften to the truth. And whether, my dear brother, my dear sister, you could say to me anything. You could say, Akhi, I've committed zina, pray. You could say, Akhi, I've stolen, pray. I've done, you know, I'm not good, pray. I'm not a good man, pray. You don't begin praying when you're established upon the truth. You begin praying to get to the truth. That prayer is that speck of light that enters into that dark room, and you can make the hole bigger until it becomes a window into your life and a door, and that you can find yourself in the fresh air, in the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah allow us to celebrate our faith and make us of those who are standing in prayer, giving in our charity, and joining others in worship, to be able to subdue against that veining instinct of wanting to subdue the truth because it's inconvenient in our life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to favor us with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and to assist us all in that which is pleasing to him. Allahumma ameen.
Ameen, subhanAllah. You know, subhanAllah, the dua that you made in the first part, Sheikh, about, you know, may Allah protect us from earning, from purchasing his, you know, his wrath. That was powerful because it's so true. And I think just with all of the things that we kind of mentioned this morning, for, you know, throughout the news stories, and it kind of points back to that whole aspect of being gratitude. You know, having that gratitude. You know, we was talking to our guest earlier about the fact that we get caught up, you know, anxiety and these things, we get caught up in the scarcity of life and depression sets in, and it's because of a lack of, you know, faith. It's because of a lack of taqwa. It was not just because of a lack of faith, but, you know, we need to increase that faith in Allah. We need to increase that trust in Allah in these situations. And, you know, that essentially, you know, what you just told us, there's the action that needs to be taken to, you know, increase our ibadah and actually put the work in. SubhanAllah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we were also, you know, just, you know, saying about the whole faith, you know, reminders, constantly need these reminders to remind ourselves to keep ourselves back on track. And, you know, and again, something you said just now about the don't purchase those temporary small pleasures, you know, for trading for your akhirah, which is forever.
SubhanAllah, it is the eternal challenge, of course. And for us as people of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, who do love the way of the Prophet ﷺ, there's no greater task that's going to be more difficult for us to complete in life than to be consistent in our salah. Most people assume, you know, I gotta be good, I gotta stay away, stay out of the pubs and not run after the dunya and this and that. But it's actually the greatest hardship in and greatest burden upon us is the salah, is that you become one who is acknowledging the blessing of Allah on a regular, regimented basis, fulfilling the obligation of prayer as it is set upon us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna wa innaha lakabira." It is an enormity. Illa ala al-khashi'een, except for those who develop an awe and an inspired fear of me, that they recognize the akhirah is the priority to the dunya. And I'll just leave you with this statement that our imams used to teach us. They used to say, "Man arada al-akhirah, atahu Allahu dunya wal-akhirah." That the one who puts their effort for the akhirah, Allah will grant them the dunya with the akhirah. You will never be without, because you are of the favored of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Well, that was very, that's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, subhanAllah. You know, it kind of made me think about earlier, you know, we were talking about in one of the news stories the fact that France, you know, they're getting rid of the mosques, they're shutting down the mosques, and we have so many mosques, you know, to be able to complete our worship, to be able to go and pray, and like you said, stand in Jumma, stand with others and actually pray. And this is a hardship for many Muslims around the world. It's something that we need to be grateful for and utilize it while we still have the opportunity as well. SubhanAllah.
It's one of the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sister. You know, the Prophet said that he was given five things that other prophets and messengers were not given. And he says simply, "Ju'ilat al-ardu li masjidan wa tahura." The whole globe, the whole earth, is my masjid, and its earth, even the dirt of it, is what we can clean ourselves with. How can you contest anyone? Close down whatever you close down. The masjid, there's a masjid in every square foot of this earth, above the sea, the air, the land, the desert, the forest, the Arctic, the mountains, the landscape. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. Whatever plan that is set, it's all in the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is an aggrievement and a resistance, of course, in our hearts. But if we understand the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the best of places, and they are those that are consecrated for the best of purposes. but know with a surety that a Muslim, his masjid is wherever his foot sets upon in this earth. Alhamdulillah.
When you put it in that context, it's so true.
It's reassuring.
And we have no excuse. We have no excuse. You know, there's so many. You see these videos as well on YouTube and Instagram. People.
Even at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, they thought that they were winning by making a treaty with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if somebody becomes a believer, you have to send them back to us in Mecca. You can't keep them in Medina. So whenever somebody came to accept Islam, the Prophet said, listen, I have a treaty with the people of Quraysh. I'm sorry, you can't live in Medina. So these people would go and live out in the desert. And because they're out in the desert, they became brigands, and they would attack some of the caravans that were traveling back and forth to take back the rights that had been stolen from them, that they, you know, their land and their property was seized in Mecca and now it's being traded. Well, I'm going to take it back from you. It eventually causes the people of Mecca to come back to the Prophet ﷺ and say, yeah, Muhammad, we've made a mistake. We want to change the treaty. Actually, can you keep them with you because they're more peaceful with you? And I fear that when people are put out of the houses of Allah and they don't have the direction of reasonable, reliable imams who can call to the truth of the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and people who don't know right from wrong and don't have the training of the Sharia, that they start to live a life that is heedless to the laws of our faith, that it can cause greater trouble than the aims of trying to achieve whatever simplistic ideals are being called to in the moments being discussed. May Allah protect our heritage and our tradition as Muslims. Our masajid are in our hearts, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسْجِدِ. When your heart is attached to the masjid, this is one of your saving grace on the Day of Judgment. May Allah make us people of Iqam al-Salah. Allahumma ameen.
That was a wonderful, great reminders there and stories. Thank you so much, Sheikh, for being on the show and joining us.
Allahi barik fikum. It's a pleasure. I look forward to seeing you again next Wednesday, inshallah. The time has changed a little bit for you guys with the daylight savings. Yeah. It's an hour later for me here now. So instead of 6 p.m., I now see you 7 p.m., which is 11 a.m. London time. And inshallah, the Islamic Q&A is in the top of the hour, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala.
Yeah. Well, inshallah, hopefully we see you again, inshallah, next week.
Ameen, inshallah.
Right. Okay, so I think we're going to go off for a quick commercial break, but after